Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. A lot of pages turned. Want me to wait for you to get there? Some of y'all say, Titus who? Now I don't hear pages turning. You say, that means we found it. No, that means you stopped, so you don't want me to know you didn't find it. All right? That's all right. We'll wait for you a little bit. All right? Everybody there say amen. Amen. Don't worry, Nyla. Look on with mommy. It's all good. It's all good. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. Everybody say that with me. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. Lord, I need you today, and yet I recognize that you don't need me. So, God, I pray, God, that you will use your word as you have time and time again. Help us, Lord, particularly in these last of the last days. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I want to tell you a little bit about Titus. Talk about this letter and introduce our theme today. And then next week we'll dive deeper into it. It's clear that Titus was probably led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. In verse number 4, this is what Paul says of Titus. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith. That's chapter 1, verse 4. So he was a son in the faith of the Apostle Paul. How many know there's something special about telling somebody about Jesus? And when that somebody responds and you have the opportunity to show that one, by the way, we never save anybody, but we can certainly lead them to the one who can save them. And so Paul was influential without a doubt in leading Titus to the Lord. He is first mentioned, Titus that is, in scripture as Paul's companion at the church in Antioch when they stood before the Antioch Council in Jerusalem. And remember, there was a debate over whether or not Gentiles needed to be circumcised like Jews did. And Paul brought Titus with him as a test case to see if the church was going to force their own preferences on people at the expense of the truth of the Word of God. By the way, you should never set your own preferences above God's precepts. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with having some things you invite into your life to keep you on the right track, to help you do right, and to live for God. But you should never set tradition over truth. Nothing we think is right should be substituted for what God says is right. Somebody say amen. There's a lot of that going on. So there is Titus with him. Titus is mentioned several times in scripture as accompanying the Apostle Paul. He was a good friend. He was a dear brother in the faith. You'll remember in Corinthians that Paul said he sent Titus on his behalf to minister to the church, to stand in the gap, to reach them and to preach to them and to deal with them. And Titus was a faithful substitute and emissary of the Apostle Paul at the church of Corinth. In Acts chapter number 27, Paul is in a great storm and that ship comes right near Crete, the island of Crete. This is a large island in the Mediterranean lying south of Greece and north of Libya. Paul got close to Crete, but because of the wind and the storm, they weren't able to stay there. Without a doubt, Paul wanted to minister to the Cretans. Everywhere Paul went, Romans chapter 1, he was not ashamed of the gospel. By the way, everywhere you go, you shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel either. And Paul wanted to get to Crete. He wanted to minister to the Cretans. I don't know if you remember, but in Acts chapter 2 at the day of Pentecost, Cretans were one of the groups of people that were there when that great message was delivered by Peter. 3,000 people got saved, baptized, and joined the church. And many believe that it was those Christians that left Jerusalem, went back to Crete, and began churches that were started there. After Paul was imprisoned in Rome for the first time, he got a chance to go to Crete. He evangelized there. He preached there. He taught there. But it's obvious that he didn't stay there long enough to organize churches. So to get those churches organized, taught right, and together, he sent his main man, Titus. He either sent him there or left him there when he went. And Titus is one of what we call pastoral letters, pastoral epistles, where Paul is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God to a young pastor at how that young pastor ought to lead his church and the people in doing things not the world's way, but God's way. Let me say this, that there are a lot of pastors that are leading their churches to do things their way instead of God's way. The job of a pastor is never to lead people to do things his way. It's never to lead people to worship him. It's never to lead people to fulfill his pet peeves and his idiosyncrasies. The job of the pastor, 1 Peter chapter 5, feed the flock of God. Come on now. The job of the pastor, 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and by the way, that time has come, where men will not endure sound doctrine, but will have themselves itching ears and will want teachers. And by the way, people don't want preaching anymore. They want teaching. And there's nothing wrong with teaching, but they want teaching that fits their lifestyle. The Bible was never given to accommodate what you do. The Bible was given so you align yourself with what it says. And we don't preach a message that fits with society. We don't take a poll of the crowd and find out what message they want to hear. We don't find out what Hollywood is advertising or what social trends are demonstrating and decide what we're going to preach on. No, 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 no. If I'm a man of God, I got to preach what God said. And it's got to land where it lands, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. So Paul is challenging Titus. Now, won't you understand the twofold theme of Titus? Five times he's going to use the word sound in chapter number 2. Sound. The word sound literally means to be healthy. It means to be well. He uses the word sound with the word doctrine. The word doctrine is the word for teachings or form of belief. Here's what Paul wants Titus to do. He wants Titus to instruct the church in sound or well or healthy teaching. Now listen to me, because some people will get bored and stuff like this, but I'm trying to tell you, it matters what we believe. Come on, I'm going to say that again. It matters what we believe. I like seeing people. I like worshiping. I like raising my hand. I like clapping. I like coming to church and getting around the people of God. I like hearing the choir. I like hearing the music played over the sound system. I'll be honest with you. I like it kind of loud. Come on now. I like people saying amen. I like people saying glory. I like fellowships. I like the getting together and eating food. I like all those things. But none of those things work if we don't know what we believe. Now listen to me now. We are living in the day and age where we have dumbed down sound doctrine. Men get up every week and they preach. They make a bunch of noise. I was talking to someone yesterday and we were talking about how I'm looking forward to the day when I can make as much noise as I used to make. And I look at some of my preaching before. First thing I noticed was I look real fat. Next thing I noticed is is that I was wild and loud and screaming. So one of them days I'm going to get back to yell and get these lungs back to that. But in the meantime, if I can't scream and hoop and holler like I used to, for heaven's sake, whatever sound does come out of our voice, it better be sound doctrine. Amen. It better be something that lines up with the book. Now, you can go down the road wherever you want to go and find you a building with a steeple on it and find you a man with some letters in front of his name. He may have a robe on. He may have a collar flipped backwards. He may make a bunch of noise. And I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just simply saying, just because a preacher has a rhythmic cadence, just because he has skill in pulpiteering, just because he sounds good when he does it, just because people are shouting when he says it, just because the building is full when he's preaching, doesn't mean he's a man of God if he's not preaching sound doctrine. It does matter what Bible we preach from. It does matter what our tenets of belief are. It does matter where we stand on the principles of the Word of God. So when Paul writes a letter to Titus and he says, when you go preach to those Cretans, they may have cultural things. They may have things in their lives that are popular. They may have political things in their life. But when you get up and preach at a pulpit in Crete, don't you preach what you feel, what you think, what's the name said. You better preach sound doctrine. Church, it matters what you believe. Young people, it matters what you believe. Parents, it matters what we believe. If we're not careful, we'll just be telling kids what to do and not why we believe it. It matters. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope which is in you with meekness and in fear. We need more Christians that know why they are Baptists, that know why they are eternal. Eternally saved, that know why the devil is a liar, to know why we believe in the resurrection, to know why death cannot steal us from God, to know why to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, to know why hell is not a figment of imagination, to know why heaven really has pure gold, to know why Jesus died on the cross, to know why we take communion, to know why that we do what we do. Listen to me. Sound doctrine matters. And so Paul is challenging them not only about doctrine, but that doctrine goes hand in hand with duty. That principles go hand in hand with practice. Come on now. That belief is what drives behavior. Is anybody listening? Now I'm teaching and preaching this morning. See, you can't behave right if you don't believe right. You can't do right if you got bad doctrine. Come on, you can't practice if you don't have good precepts. So here's what Paul is saying. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved for good works. And he's saying that if you're going to get those people in Crete to live right, you got to get them to believe right. And listen to me, the reason why we got a lot of people that are trying to live out the Christian life and failing every single day, they don't know what they believe. Listen to me. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's why we preach verse by verse. That's why we preach the truth. Every once in a while, I run into somebody and say, well, I'm not growing. How can you not be growing if we are preaching line upon line, verse by verse? That's like saying I went to a buffet and I'm hungry. Listen to me now. If the food is hot, if the forks are up there, if the plate is there, if it's seasoned and it's ready and you ain't hungry, you don't have nobody to blame but yourself. Get up off your blessed assurance, grab a plate and a fork, put it on the plate and put the food in your mouth. Now, here's what Paul is saying. If you get sound doctrine, it will get you living the right duty. If you have the right beliefs, it will have you with the right behavior. If you learn the right precepts, then my friend, you will have the right practices. So in chapter number one, he lays out a number of doctrines. He talks about the man of God. He talks about what he expects out of the preachers. He talks about what he expects out of those that are leading. In chapter number two, he begins to give some work of sound doctrine to the people of God, and he starts talking about how the aged men ought to act, how the aged women ought to act, how the young men ought to act, How the young women ought to act. Now we live in a society where old men and young men and old women and young women act in all kinds of ways. God said there's a way they're supposed to act. Ain't nothing cute about a dirty old man. Amen. Ain't nothing cool about a dirty young man. Amen. And I don't care how popular, it ain't right to be a dirty old woman. Amen. And God give us fewer dirty young women. Somebody say amen. There's a way you ought to live if you're an aged man. There's a way you ought to live if you're an aged woman. There's a way you ought to live if you're an aged woman, a young man or a young woman. And that way is not found on TikTok. That way is found in the Word of God. Y'all ain't think I knew what it was. I don't know how to get on there, but I know y'all do. And I know I heard you can put it on there and it's gone real fast. That's why a lot of people like it. I guess by the time you tick, it done talked. But just because it's done ticking and talking doesn't mean God don't know what's happening. You don't learn how to be a man on TikTok. You don't learn how to be a man on BET. You don't learn how to be a man on ESPN. You don't learn how to be a man from a rap song. You don't learn how to be a woman from Desperate Housewives. You don't learn how to be a woman from talk shows. You don't learn how to be a woman from Oprah. You don't learn how to be a woman from Hollywood. You don't learn how to be a woman from who walks down the runway. No. You learn how to be a woman from the one who made you, who created you. Amen. Every once in a while, you ought to turn off some of that Lifetime and turn on Proverbs 31. Amen. Every once in a while, you turn off ESPN and start turning on the New Testament. Amen. That's where you learn how to be an aged man and an aged woman and a young man and a young woman. This is what Paul is saying. The reason why we got so many men that are crazy and women that are crazy is because they don't understand sound doctrine. Well, imagine if I could just scream that right there. Sometimes you gotta hit it, dude. You can't, yeah, you just gotta hit the pulpit. Then he deals with servants or slaves. I want to make it very clear that Paul dealing with how slaves should behave was not God's advocacy of slavery. Every once in a while I say, slavery's in the Bible, God was for slavery. No. God wasn't for slavery. God was for Christian people who happened to be slaves to not stop being Christian because they were slaves. God is not for people doing you wrong, but God's not for you doing wrong because they did you wrong. So he says to those, many under the Roman leadership were slaves. Many of them were Christians. Paul says it takes sound doctrine for someone who is a slave to understand that just because I'm being mistreated by a master doesn't mean I should mistreat my ultimate master. So he talked to servants how they should be submissive, how they shouldn't purloin, they shouldn't steal, they should be submissive, they should be obedient, they should follow the instructions of their masters, even when their masters were doing them wrong. Listen, a slave had no civil rights. A slave could be tortured. They spoke of one slave in history who threw his slaves into water and allowed the slaves to be destroyed by vicious animals. This is what slaves did to masters did to their slaves. But God said, you may be done wrong by your masters, but I'll take care of you if you keep doing right. This is what Paul is writing to Titus about. Then he makes this statement in verse number 10. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. I'm closing. The word adorn is where we get the word ornament. And it's where we would translate the word cosmetic in our English language. Now, you know, when you get cosmetic surgery, your insurance don't pay for it. You know why? They say you don't need that. You're just trying to look better. Okay. When you go out into the woods or in the country somewhere looking for Christmas trees and you find one on a farm and they cut it down, those Christmas trees that have grown on the farm do not grow with ornaments on them. Is anybody listening to me? If you get an ornament on a tree, it's because you put it on there. It's because you want to take something that's good and make it look good by decorating it with an ornament. Here's what righteousness of slaves was doing to sound doctrine. Here's what Paul said in verse number 10. I want you to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Here's what he's saying. This stuff that God wrote in his word is good stuff. No. That's all of you that believe that? This stuff that God wrote in his word is good stuff. Come on, the Bible's good from cover to cover. Even Leviticus and Numbers and the stuff we don't understand, it's still good. Now, here's what God says. When you decide to live out the good Bible in your life, you are taking something that's good and adorning it. Watch this now. Decorating it, ornamenting it, cosmetically displaying it in a way that takes something that God has given and make it look good. Come on now. Now watch this now. Here's the contrary. When you're a Christian and God's given you a good Bible and you live a bad life, you're taking a good Bible with your bad life and making it look bad. This is what Paul is saying. And here's what he's speaking in context to these slaves. To live right under horrible circumstances, because by living right in bad circumstances, you take sound doctrine and adorn it so that it looks good, just like it is good. And here's the motivation for those slaves while they're trying to live right in tough circumstances to make sound doctrine look good. Read it with me. Looking at blessing. Now here's what he's saying. When you get up one day and you're a slave and you're working hard and your master don't treat you right, and yet you heard the truth where God said you ought to do right, and you feel like quitting, and you feel like giving up, and you feel like giving in, and you feel like you can't go on anymore, when you don't have the strength to keep doing right, he said, let me tell you what'll keep you going. Looking for that blessed hope. What do you mean? He said, when you feel like everything is going against you, you look up in the sky. And by the way, we'll talk next week of what that word looking means. It literally means it's a Greek word. I'll tell you next week. I can't slip my mind. It's a long word. It starts with P and ends with I. But anyway, he says it literally means to expect. Here's what he's saying about that blessed hope. By the way, that blessed hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. John chapter 14, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Come on now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's going to come again. Amen. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruption shall put on corruption. Hey, God made it very clear. Acts chapter 1, the angel said unto him, this same Jesus which you saw go up into heaven shall in like manner appear unto you. Come on now. He is coming again. I didn't come here today to convince you that he's coming again. If you don't believe it by now, you may never believe it. Here's what I came here to convince you. Since he is coming, get up every day and look for him to come. Amen. Get up every day and look for him to come. Expect him to come. I know it's not easy. I know it's difficult. I know 2020 has been a tough year. 2021 is going to be a tough year too. But when you feel like you can't go on, look up. Amen. Up for that blessed hope. Look up for Jesus. Expect him to come. You know what? That'll get you shaping up. Come on now. That'll get you tightening up. It'll change the way you treat each other. It'll change the way you talk to each other. It'll change the way you act, the way you dress, the way you want him to show up while you're acting a fool. Looking for that blessed hope. Everybody looking for a vaccination. I'm looking for Jesus. And the vaccine. Now, this pastor pet peeve now. I'm done talking. I know there's a lot of speculation on what to do. Soon as they tell me I can take it, I'm taking it. All right? They can shoot my hands, my legs, and wherever else they need to. I'm going to take it. But you know what? That's a vaccination for COVID. You know what hope gives us? Hope gives us a vaccination for sin. A vaccination for foolishness. A vaccination for this body that breaks down. Listen to me. I need something inserted in my system that's not just going to keep COVID out of me. I need something that's going to keep a sin nature out of me. Keep me from messing up. Keep me from thinking the wrong thoughts. Keep me from saying the wrong words. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that the doctors, Fauci, and none of them can come up with to get our sin nature. But that one who's coming one day in the clouds, He's going to wipe our tears away. He's going to make everything right. And I'm determined in 2021 to wake up every day looking for that blessed hope. He is coming again. All right, I'm out of steam. But let's look for him. Maybe we're so busy looking for everything and everybody else, we have ceased looking for that blessed hope. Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God, it matters what we believe. Help us to be better students of the Bible. Committed. In every regard. I've never seen so many lazy Christians when it comes to the Bible. They can't tolerate too much of the truth. God help us. Help us to be looking for that blessing. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many say, Pastor, God spoke to me today? All over the building, would you raise your hand? God spoke to me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God to help. I wonder if there's anybody in the building say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Listen, sound doctrine says that baptism can't save you. Sound doctrine says that church membership can't save you. Sound doctrine says that being born in a good family can't save you. Sound doctrine says that turning over a new leaf can't save you. It takes the blood of Jesus. That's why he's that blessed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? I'm not 100% sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Thank you. I see you. You need that hope, that blessing. All over the building, whatever you're facing, Christian, look up. Look for that hope. Expect him to come. He's coming again. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you continue to use it to help us. Help us to be what we ought to be, what we need to be. Keep strengthening us. We love you. God, we say a special prayer for Isaiah's mom. God, would you raise her up? Touch her body right now. I pray that we'd start hearing good news that she's improving. I pray that her kidneys would work right. The renal failure that's going on, I pray that you would heal it. The COVID out of her body. All those others that we're praying for. Thank you for the improvements that we've heard. I heard from Brother Steve about his sisters getting better. We pray that you continue to bless his family in the time of bereavement. Bless them and all those others. Raise Marsha up. Touch Rudine. Bless Brother Terry. Bless Alice Jefferson, all these others, Sister Dawkins, and on. Keep doing what you do. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.